Gospel of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14, we'd like to begin reading in this familiar passage and verse number 1. John 14, verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. The way I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Over the course of history, there have been numerous people that have said things that are still remembered today, many quotes that you hear and that you see by famous people, especially presidents, other politicians, notable citizens of this country, those that have some kind of renown or celebrity behind them, those that are learned or wise in worldly things, oftentimes have their words remembered, not only remembered for a time, but quoted yet in the future when those things that they said have some bearing or some understanding with the times that we are living in. If you think about Abraham Lincoln, there are many things he said that are quoted today and remembered by us. There are many things that other presidents have said that we take some heart in and encouragement from, not so much in recent times, but presidents of days gone by. But these quotes, these things that are said by mere men are remembered for a time and for sometimes many years and brought to pass to us that we might find some nugget of knowledge or some understanding of truth and times that we live in. But as we read this passage here in verse number 6, you find a quote that we often use when talking especially to the lost, a quote we use when we are refuting error or when we are refuting heresy, a quote that is often used that comes from Jesus Christ himself. And if we are going to quote anybody today, if we are going to bring anybody's words back, into our ears or into our minds or hearts, the power within the words of Christ certainly should capture our attention. And what he says here is more than just a pithy quote remembered because it was spoken in an eloquent manner or it was timely in its fashion and its wisdom. But the words that are spoken here by Jesus Christ in verse number 6 are timeless and are eternal because they present to us the only way that man has to come to God in salvation. The only way. There are countless doctrines today, countless methods of salvation in the world. There are countless even religions or cults that tell you if you do this or that, if you follow this or follow that, all of those things that they tell you to do or they tell you to believe or they tell you to swallow, all of those things and those other ways of religion, ways into heaven, all of them we know are garbage. And we don't say that because of our own wisdom or knowledge. We don't say that because of our own learning. But we say that because Jesus Christ spoke these words. They are emphatic. They are undeniable. These words are unequivocal. There is no hedging. There is no room here for doubt, for anything else but what Jesus Christ says. And very plainly in his own words, he says, I am the way. If there were no other words in the gospel or in the word of God concerning salvation, these would be enough. These would be enough to show us exactly the way that we are to follow, the way that we are to pursue, the way that we are able to come unto God in salvation. We know that there are many more such words, some spoken by Christ directly in His earthly life, some spoken by the Spirit through godly men. But yet we find the truth is the same. Jesus Christ says, I am the way. There is no other method, form, or fashion to salvation that can be sought today that will end in one being in the glories of heaven for all of eternity, having their sins been forgiven, washed in the blood of Christ, and having eternal life. There is no other direction, no other way. And you don't have to trust me on that. These other religions, these other cults, these other people that tell you the things that they want to tell you to get you to do the things that they want you to do, you have to take their word for it, that those things are so. You have to take their wisdom, their knowledge, their understanding. But here, I'm not asking you to take mine. I'm reading to you the words of Jesus Christ, divinely preserved, divinely, of course, inspired, because it was God Himself that says in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am these things. The way, I am the truth. The embodiment of all that is right, of all that is profitable, of all that is true. Jesus Christ was and is that still today. And some people have sought to find it under a rock, and religions have started that way. Some people have sought to find it today in even praying to dead people. For that is a great part of what the Catholic religion is all about. They have sought it that way, even worshiping dead people and dead bodies. And they seek it that way. They say, that is the truth. This is the way to life. It has been started, of course, by many charlatans saying they have heard from God in the darkness of the midnight, and this is what He told me, and it's contrary to everything the Word of God says. Throw all of that stuff aside, put all of that aside, and what you find here is Jesus Christ saying, I am the way. Here. It's me. I am it. You want to come to God, it's by me. As he concludes this verse, he says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Echoing the words of John 6:44, where he said something very similar in speaking to his people, saying that except the Father draw, except they are given the ability to come, except these things happen, no man can come unto me. And so here he is very plain, very emphatic, unequivocally saying, I am the way. What argument today do you have against that that holds any water? God Himself is saying to you, I am the way, and what do you have to say in return? Now I think I'll try my own path. I think I'll take my own direction. I think I'll strike out on my own way. That's what all this other religion is about. But where you sit, where you are this morning, what do you have to say to Jesus Christ, to God Himself in the flesh, as He says, I am the way, and there is no other way. There is no other truth. There is no other life. It is me and me alone. For whatever it is you have to say, it will hold no water in eternity, because at some point in time, your death, the judgment seat, at the great white throne judgment, these are twice that you're going to be in the presence of God, and you are going to have no excuse. You're going to have no other way that you said, but I chose, but I decided, but I saw some wisdom in this, or I saw some profit in that, or I saw some knowledge here that I thought would do me some good. Many people might try that argument. Actually, I don't think they will, because they'll fall under the divine presence of Christ at His feet and realize that everything they did was unprofitable, that it wasn't worthy of Him, all because they saw it a different way. And so you may this morning leave not having made any outward display of the Lord working on your heart. But as you leave this morning, I want you to consider that Jesus said, I am the way. And if you are trusting, if you are thinking, if you are doing anything else, you are going it alone. And you are doing it opposite of how Jesus Christ has said it is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We don't have any argument. We don't have any wisdom, any other revelation of truth that would cause us to know or believe or say anything different, because He said, I am. I am. And so everyone that is unsaved under the sound of our voice this morning is in fact in rebellion or is in direct a conflict with what Christ says, because they are going about it their own way. You may think you are too far gone. You may think you're too sinful. You may think you're too this or too that. You may think a lot of different things. But all of that is just an excuse to keep you from thinking about what is important. And that is, you're a sinner on your way to hell. And the only way from hell into heaven is through Jesus Christ, as He says here. Believe in Christ today. He is the way. But I don't understand this. But I don't come to church every Sunday. But I've lived a bad life. All of those things. Jesus doesn't say anything about being disqualified here, does He? He doesn't say, well, I'm the way as long as you've lived a pretty good life. Or I'm the way as long as you know a little bit about the Word. Or I'm the way as long as you do some good after you come on the way that I am telling you about here. He doesn't say any of that, does He? He simply says, I am the way. Believe that if we have one verse in all of Scripture that shows us the power and the simplicity of the gospel, this would certainly be one of them. And one that we should trumpet, one that we should take to the world, because it's not in us. It's not in this church. As much as we love the doctrine of the church, and as much as we believe in upholding doctrine and teaching, and as much as we stand for it and are faithful to it and would fight for it, even to the death if God gave us the grace, it's not in us. It's not. It's not in being a member of this church. It's not in being in attendance so often and so long. It's not in any of those world or any of those fleshly works. Because if that were the case, Jesus Christ would have said, my church is the way. Or He would have said, the doctrine is the way. Or believing this way is the way. But you know what? He didn't say any of that. He simply said, I am the way. I am it. And you know what? That is about as an unpopular doctrine as there is in the world today. Every once in a while, you'll see some of the more conservative evangelists in our country, you know, that have some notoriety, they'll kind of say something along these lines, and you're like, oh, good for them. They said something that was pretty much right, or that was true. And then just a little while later, you'll see him retract it and say, well, maybe not. We're all working towards the same God. We're all going to the same place. We're just doing it different ways. That's foolishness. We're not. There are millions and millions, probably billions of people today that are deceived into the thinking that there is an Allah that is going to give them these things if they will kill people and do these things. There are people that are deceived into worshiping cows and idols and different things in other parts of this world that we live in. They think they're coming back to live another life and to be somebody else or something else, and they're just going to keep being reincarnated and going on. People think a lot of different things. I mean, we don't have time to list them all, and it wouldn't even profit us all that much. But we need to remember. We need to remember that they are deceived. I'm not better because I know what the way is. Sometimes we like to think that. If you have to ask me for directions, I kind of feel good about that. It means I know where I'm going, and you kind of don't. And so that makes me feel kind of good, right? And so I got to be careful not to be prideful as I give you directions. But it's not in me that I know the way to heaven. It's not in me that I understand that Jesus Christ has saved me from my sins. It's not in me. It doesn't make me good. It doesn't make me better than anyone else. But we need to be pointing them in that direction. We need to be showing them what is the way. Jesus Christ is it. He is the way, and nothing else. Nothing else will bring you into a right relationship with God except Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter what you've done in your life. Believe and trust in Him today as the way and be saved. And then you've got the rest of your life to figure all the rest of it out. All the rest of your life to walk in a relationship with Him, to learn, to grow, to make mistakes, to fall, to learn how to ask Him to forgive you of all those things that you're going to do against Him in time to come. But for now, understand that Christ Himself, in His own words, says there's nothing else. It's just me. That's it. That's all I can put before you today. It's to say that I am it. Not me, but Jesus Christ is it. In the words of Jesus Christ Himself, so poignant, so powerful, so wonderful to consider today, and shows us how direct, how plain, and how simple the message that we give to the world needs to be. It doesn't need to be convoluted. It doesn't need to be mixed in with a bunch of philosophy and vain deceit. It doesn't need to be mixed in with a bunch of, you know, fluff to make us look good or to attract people. But we just need to mimic the words of Christ. And that's not always easy, we know. Because we want people in the seats. We want to see people come to the Lord's house. We want to see those things happen. And it would sure be easier if we had something physical to offer Him, wouldn't it? It certainly would be easier if we did have, you know, a entertainment or some other kind of thing to offer them as far as the world sees ministry. They've ruined that word. It would be easier. We would like it because we would feel good about ourselves if this place was busting at the seams. But you know what? Would it do any good? If we were pointing to our prowess as actors or as musicians or our prowess as orators or our prowess even in the knowledge of scriptures. But that's not the case. All we want to do is point to Jesus Christ because He's it. There's nothing else. And if we get off that message, if we get off that topic, if we divert from that even for a little space of time, we are failing. We are failing at what we have been called to do in this place. You know how we need today to be saying that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Saying it with love, mercy, and compassion. Because we live in the midst of a world that is filled with people that are dying and going to hell every single moment of every single day. This room has people in it that if we don't ever see them again are going to hell. If they die. And what they need to hear is not me sounding smart or not us putting on a show or a play or not saying this or saying that about why we're so good or pointing them in 1,000 other different directions. What they need to hear is that Jesus is it. Because He is. We need to pray that God would give us the ability to say exactly that. Every time. We have the ability to talk to someone that's lost. Every time that we have the ability to come into the opportunity to speak to them, we need to speak to them about it. Now, they're going to try to get you off track. And they're going to say, well, how big's your church? You know, answer that question. Don't answer that question. That's up to you. But what do? You bring them back to what's really important. They might say, well, what do you have to offer me? Or what kind of ministries do you have? Or can you feed me? Or can you clothe me? Or can you do this for me? Answer those questions. Don't answer those questions. But whatever you do, bring them back to Christ. Bring them back to Christ. That's where we need to be. That's what we need to be about. Showing everyone that He is the way. He is the truth. And He is the life. And oh, what a joyous existence it is to go through this life knowing that you are walking in the way. You are walking after truth and you are having eternal life, not just something as a future possession, but already having it within your grasp and a reality that you know. Oh, He is still all of these things today. Don't let the world, don't let religion tell you otherwise. Don't let the world or religion tell you otherwise, because there's a lot of different things out there, as we've already talked about this morning. A lot of different cults, a lot of different things that the devil and his demons are behind. And they are making it look like religion. They're making it look like Christianity. They're making it look like something that is right, when we know that it is wrong, in fact. Do we need to spend time combating those? Not necessarily, unless they affect us right here in this place and try to get their foot in the door here. What we need to do is make sure that we don't join them. We need to make sure that we are preaching the gospel and telling everyone that Jesus Christ is the way. Not just a way. Don't make that mistake. Don't make that mistake. He's not just a way, but He is the way, the truth, and the life. Go back to John chapter number 6. I quoted this verse a few minutes ago. John chapter number 6, verse number 44. A lot of people turn to this verse and they give us grief over it because they think they know what we believe about it, when in reality they don't. They think that we turn to this verse and see maybe what they would say is legalism or the law or excluding people. But when we turn to this verse, actually we see grace. We see grace. And what we see here is Jesus Christ saying, "I am the way." Here He speaks. He says, "No man can come to Me except the Father, which has sent Me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." We preached on verse 44 before and made this statement. We'll make it again just now. If in verse number 44 there was a period instead of a comma after the word "me," how sad our existence in this world would be. How sad. How terrible. How, hopeless. But there, instead of a period, we find grace. We find grace in a comma, because it doesn't end there. The thought doesn't end there. The truth that Christ presents doesn't end there. He says, "No man can." No man can accept. Oh, praise God for that. Praise God for the exception. The exception to the rule, the exception to our inability, the exception to our depravity. He says, "No man can but or except the Father which has sent Me draw him." And there you find grace. Grace unmerited, grace so sweet. You know, the appointments of God's grace, the Father's hand of mercy and grace upon us, is so sweet. His appointments are spacious. They are not miserly. But they are given according to His love and according to His will. And we find here that He lays them upon us, and without them we would still be who we were. If you're waiting for something else in your life to happen, the sad reality is you are deceived into thinking that something you can do is going to make a difference. And you're going to continue in that deception, continue in that round and round of life and what you have called religion. And you're going to continue in that until you die and go to hell. And you deserve it, so do I. I would be headed there today without any hope beyond the grave, without any hope of eternal life. But here we find, He says, "Except." One day through His grace, the Father drew me. But notice where He drew me. He didn't draw me just to a building or to a people. He didn't draw me just to, a set of services. But it says here, and like we've experienced, drew Him to Jesus Christ. "The Father which has sent Me, draw Him." Where? Draw Him, as it says, the beginning of verse 44, to Him or to Christ. No man can come except the Father draw him to Me. Where does the Father bring us in salvation? He brings us from where we are, draws us from that place of sin and hopelessness and despair in that tomb, as Lazarus was even in, bound by the grave clothes of depravity and sin. He draws us out of that place, quickens us, converts us. You know what? He doesn't bring us out and then say, now pick your way and go. He doesn't say, pick whichever thing sounds the best to you and fits your life the best. He doesn't say that, but he says, he brings us out to Jesus Christ. Because he is the way. There is no other hope or way. It isn't your mom's way or your dad's way. But it's God's way or the highway. Really, it's God's way or hell, and that's the only alternative. Except, what a great word. Says the Father, which has sent me, draw him. And we should praise God that he is still in the business of drawing people into Christ today. Oh, it may not be what we want, for we would like to see him draw one every single service. Oh, that's what we'd want. May not be what we want because there may be one in our life, in our family, in our acquaintances that we have prayed for years and decades. And we would want that prayer to be answered and that person to be drawn immediately. It may not be what we want because we look around in society and we see so many that are in darkness and in sin. So many blaspheming the name of God. So many that are running our country, running our society, running many businesses and many influential societal organizations. And we pray for them and we want them to be saved. And if it was up to us, they all would be. They would all come. And so we tend to think that because it's not like it used to be, or because it's not quite what we want it to be, that somehow God is not drawing anymore, but he is. He is. He's drawing. He's reaching out, and he, by his power of grace and mercy, is grabbing a hold of those in sin. And he's bringing them to Christ, putting them in the way. And there's no place other for them to be and to find salvation. The end of verse 44 ends by saying, and I will. This is Christ saying, God will draw them to me. It's the only way they're going to be saved. And once they're given to me, is I will raise him up the last day. They shall have eternal life. Christ promises that over and over again to his people. I will give them eternal life. Because I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. And you're not going to find it. Not going to find it anywhere else. Verse 37 at the beginning of, well, towards the beginning of the words of Christ here says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but I should raise it up again at the last day. Jesus Christ says here that those given to me of the Father, those that he has given to me, those that he draws to me, he says all of them will come. We don't have to worry about the hand of the Lord being shortened today. It's still as long as it's ever been. And there isn't one sinner on the face of this earth that is beyond the long arm of Almighty God, to draw them out of their sin where they are and bring them to salvation in Jesus Christ in the way. There isn't one sinner here that is too far. Too far to be reached by the long arm, the grace and mercy of Almighty God. You may run from it. You may embrace it partially as far as religion. You may do anything in between. When it's time, it's time. And I pray that this morning is the time. That the hand of God would rest upon you, showing you you're a sinner. Bringing you to the full assurance that Jesus Christ died for you. Giving you the grace of repentance. In other words, realizing that everything you've ever done and been about has been against God, and that you are vile and wretched in His sight, and asking His forgiveness, putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you come to Him by that faith. Coming to Christ by that faith. There is, as we have said, as we have always said, as we will always say, no other way unto salvation. Don't be fooled by the things going on in the world and in religion today. Don't be fooled by the atheists that tell you there is no God. Don't be fooled by the religionists in your school that are telling you, about this secular humanism that, we're all brothers, we're all this, we're all that, and all going to the same, that's foolishness. Right here, right now, Jesus Christ says, I am the way. And I ask you this morning, are you in that way? Are you believing in Christ? Are you trusting in Him? I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how often you've came to church. I don't care how much sin you've done in your life. I don't care about any of those things. Just answer that question within your own heart this morning. And if you come up with the answer as no, then as we mentioned before, in what we said, we ask, what argument do you have that's going to stand when you stand before Jesus Christ? What argument can you make? I'm telling you, the only thing that you can plead is His blood. So that's it. The only thing that can make you right with God. If you're not covered by the blood this morning, if you're not believing in Christ this morning, if you are not in the way this morning, there's nothing that you're going to be able to plead to make you right in the eyes of God. He doesn't feel sorry for you because you've had a hard life. He doesn't feel sorry for you because you've experienced, as some people say, hell on earth. He doesn't feel sorry for you because, you had a bad childhood or because you had to suffer through disease and health and hardship. He doesn't feel sorry for you for those things. All of those things really don't matter anyway. Right now, this morning, are you in the way? Reading again in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Go back up into verse number 4. Words of Christ, He says, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Christ makes the assertion here that all of His people knew the way. We'll get into this a little more tonight. But He makes that assertion, and He says, you know the way. But you know what? Here, Thomas had some doubts. That doesn't surprise us, because we know Thomas had a lot of doubts the time after Christ's resurrection. But He says, Thomas saith unto Him, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? The subject of life and death, eternity, heaven and hell, all of those things are so hard for us to comprehend. So hard for us to wrap our finite, feeble minds around. And if you step back and look at the plethora of religion and doctrine and things that are in the world today, just like Thomas, you go, how am I supposed to know? How am I supposed to understand? How am I supposed to get it? Jesus Christ then answers to Thomas. He says, I'm right here. Says, Thomas, I'm the way. Thomas, if you're going to go to the Father, it's got to be through me. Just don't doubt. Don't misunderstand. Don't make this complicated or hard, but understand it's me and me alone. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Jesus Christ is still saying that today in 2016. So much has changed in our world, in our existence, in our daily lives. Yet so much has stayed the same. We're all born sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus Christ is that Savior, and He's the only way you're going to be right with God. Let's stand and have a verse of meditation this morning.